Pray for my wife. She's home with some kind of stomach flu. We're not shaking hands or kissing. But I think the relationship can be salvaged. Amen. Glory to God. I'd like you to turn to Genesis 29 and verse number 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. The word tender means weak, not very attractive. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. He's saying this to his uncle Laban. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. 7 years just seems like a couple of days. And then chapter 31, and verse number 41. It says, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. Started out with seven. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. And then if you look at verse number 7 of that 31st chapter, it says, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing. God, through it, Lord, give us wisdom, understanding, and strength. These are words that are written down for our admonition, that God, somehow we can grow through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've read this story so many times. You've heard a number of messages preached on Jacob. You know, Jacob was a deceiver. In fact, that's a word, that's a name, deceiver. And then later, God changed his name to Israel, meaning power with God. But what a bad situation for Jacob. He was deceived by Laban on several occasions, but he deceived his own father. You know, you reap what you sow. First, a matter of the heart, and then a matter of money. Two areas where emotion runs high. There's two areas that somehow hit home more than anything else. It's our emotion for other people and money. Most all of us have experienced these emotions, especially matters of the heart. Now, you've heard me say this. If you've been around here for a few years, you've heard me tell this story, but I remember seeing my wife for the first time, my wife-to-be for the first time. We were in a homeroom, my last name Schumacher, her last name was Schultz, and so she sat right in front of me, never met her, but she came from swimming class and her hair would drip on my desk. And that was in April of 1963. And so, you know, I from time to time would talk to her and I liked her, but it took me until August in order to get up enough nerve in order to call her. By September, I was willing to work the rest of my life for her. I spent most of my money on her and all of my free time with her. My friends thought I lost my mind. My parents tried to, well, talk me out of the relationship. In my senior year, I gave up sports. I was a letterman, and she was a cheerleader. And I did that so I could drive 30 miles after school to go to a Holiday Inn to be a busboy for $1 an hour. And then I'd have some money to put in the gas tank and be able to go out and get hamburgers. But I don't remember complaining about the sacrifice or giving up the sport, because I recognize this is worth it. See, whatever I'm doing, it's worth it, because of the love I have. Like Jacob said, 7 years is like just a few days, because I have such a love for Rachel. And in May it'll be 52 years. Jacob said in Genesis 29 and 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. When we get saved, we just don't go through the mechanics of a baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we literally fall in love with an invisible God. And we would do just about anything for God because of being filled with the Holy Ghost and feeling the love of His Spirit over us. Not only did I consider never missing a church service, but I sat in like four Bible studies, home Bible studies, in that first year, because I was so in love with God that I wanted to know everything I could possibly know about God, and I wanted to experience everything I can with Him. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name." So no matter what you do for God, amen, God won't forget it. Right. He'll reward you for it. Amen. When duty or loyalty replaces love, then people will start to complain about the service to God. You see, if it's not a love relationship, then do we have to, Pastor? You keep harping about coming to church. Do we have to? You see, you're not in love like you used to be in love anymore if you're complaining about the service for. Then the calls stop and the visitations are limited. So the idea is to stay in love with God. So Jacob was cheated by his uncle Laban. His agreement with Laban was for 7 years to marry Rachel, but instead he ended up working for Laban for 20 years. It's amazing. Love makes service and even sacrifice very easy. You know, in most cases, I'd rather see my wife have something than me. My children have something more than me, my grandchildren, those people that I love. I'd rather see them prosper than me. It's not that I'm so selfless. It's just that I'm so in love. I want the best for those that are around me. When you grow up, when you really grow up, it's better to give than it is to receive, you see. Because of the love of God in you, it now extends out to other people. Amen. I can't understand how our God would allow Himself to go through all of the agony of the cross. The only answer could be His great love for us. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." Now we have a better idea that, you know, I'm going to do it because of love. It must have been a deep love. A deep love for me before I was ever born. Jacob, like Jesus, saw a future with someone that he loved. He saw a future with Rachel. And God saw a future with us. He didn't even consider the sacrifice or working without pay. And according to Genesis 31 and 41, 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, and 7 years for cattle and sheep. Some of Laban's deception was that Jacob only got the ringshank and speckled sheep, the ones that were somewhat striped or speckled. And now that's an unusual situation because most sheep aren't ringshank, striped or speckled. And so Laban, because of his greed, said, all right, I'll pay you in sheep, but you only get the castaways, you know? You only get the ones that don't look good, that rarely are born. So turn to Genesis 31. Genesis 31, starting in verse number 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. You know, people can be against you. Doesn't matter if God's with you. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all of the cattle bear speckles. And if he said thus, the ringshank shall be thy hire, then bear all of the cattle ringshanks. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. You know, God gives the spoil of the enemy to us. Amen. And it came to pass, as the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams were leaped upon the cattle, were ringshank, speckled and gristled. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, all of the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringshank, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. You know, he said he served the father, the God of his father. He hadn't yet gotten to the place where he was willing to really serve God. What happened was Jacob took little branches and stripped them and made them striped, if you will, and he laid them at the place where they fed and where they drank. And then they became what they saw. The shadow and type is this. What you see on this platform shows up out in the pew. That's why we're so adamant about living holy, especially when we're on this platform. It's not just a matter of how you dress. It's a matter of your character. It's a matter of how you conform to the will of God. And those are the people that God brings into the fold. Those are the inheritance, if you will. Church, sometimes when we don't get all that we want from God, we don't get what we really think we deserve, we might want to break off our relationship, but he sees the sacrifice and he always rewards whatever we do. You can't outgive God. You can't outwork God. You can't do something that God doesn't reward you in a special way, even in a way that you can't even imagine. God knows how long we must serve in any capacity in order to get the best of what he has for us. That's why patience is so important. We're an impatient society. We want what we want. We want right now. And if we don't get what we've asked God for within our time frame, we think God has denied it. And he may have just delayed it. It's his prerogative to set the time limit for promotion and for blessing. And it isn't that he doesn't want to bless us, but maybe the timing isn't right as yet. He had to get to the place where he recognized, Laban is not my friend. I need to go back to my father's house. When people leave the church of the living God, they may many times go back to the Labans of this world rather than their father. But he will never change your wages to give you less. God always gives you more. He's brought us life and life more abundantly. Amen. Ours is a love relationship. It is not a job. Amen. It's not a career. It's a relationship of love. And if it continues to be a relationship with love, then there's no problem in opening your arms and opening your wallet and opening your time and your sacrifice for him, you see? Well, we all know the story. Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, but when he lifted the veil, you know, glory to God. As you get older and you forget things, I wake up to a new wife every morning, you know. He was shocked. He came to Laban. Why? This isn't the deal we had, you know. Instead of waking up to something beautiful, how can I say this? He woke up to something a little bit ugly. Leah was tender-eyed. That's what the Bible says. Challenged as far as beauty is concerned. You know, beauty can really be a curse, folks. It really can. There aren't that many beautiful people in this world, but those that are beautiful have more temptations than the normal. And he lived with something a little bit ugly. Why? In order to obtain that which was beautiful. He worked for 7 years for that which was not beautiful, someone he didn't want, a source of contention, two women in the same house, you know, trying to get the attention of their husband, and there must have been irritation that he didn't bring on himself, but Laban did. So let me ask you tonight, did you wake up this morning to someone a little bit ugly? I'm not talking about your spouse. Is there something in your life that's a little bit ugly that you've been dealing with for years? Is there something in your life that is not very beautiful, a source of contention, or not what you wanted, but there it is. When you wake up, you have to deal with the job. You have to deal with the issue. You've got to deal with the sickness. You've got to deal with the imperfection somehow, and it doesn't make life very well. Many times we have to live with the Leahs in order to get that which is beautiful. I've had situations come in my life that were ugly, contentious, irritant, pressures, and I had to work out of those. And some even took years to get to the place where I recognized, God, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you allowed those things to come into my life. Some of you wish you had something out of your life completely tonight. But if you understand that all things work together for good, you understand that God has allowed them to be in your life for a reason, then you can accept it and get to that which is beautiful that God has for you, you see. In the process of time, those things can become beautiful. Well, God, that's not what I wanted, but that's what God allowed, so somehow I could get that which I don't deserve anyway. Leah was passed off as a hopeless wife by her deceitful father. And the devil would like you to marry your problems. You know? A little bit of ugly came into your life, and the devil would want you to embrace that, know that you're going to keep this ugliness in your life for the rest of your life. And that's not true. If you'll just hear me tonight, problems produce more children than beauty ever did. Leah gave Jacob 6 sons when Rachel couldn't. In fact, one of the sons was Judah, through which Jesus was the descendant. Jesus himself was born out of a problem to an unwed virgin, which created all kinds of problems in that area. And the problem we face will either defeat us or develop us. Most people in the church fail to see how God's problems somehow could turn out to be something great in their life. But most of us who have matured, the reason we have matured is because we've gone through some issues in our life and said, I'm going to stay with God. God uses problems to direct us and to inspect us and to make us perfect and to reveal even to us our true character, because when the problems come into our lives, God's looking to see, what are you going to do with it? People are like tea bags, you know that. If you want to know what's in them, you just drop them in hot water. If you really want to know what's going on in your life, just get to a place. I remember a long time ago, I was going through something, and God gave me this illustration. It was so vivid. He said, you're in a pickle jar. And he said, I poured hot brine over you, and then I screwed the lid down to put pressure on you in order to preserve you. And some of you may be in a pickle jar tonight. You're in the process of what God is doing in order to preserve your life for eternity. After all of the years betrayed by his brothers, Joseph was a servant in Potiphar's house for years, then accused of something he didn't do, and then put in prison. And here's what Joseph said in Genesis 50 and 20. You fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph could never have risen to the position of second in command in the most powerful nation in the world and saved his own family and other people had he not gone through the servant position and Potiphar's house and jail. Glory to God. We used to sing this song a lot. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Most of you know my rule, my 24-hour rule. If something really bothers me, I will not respond to it for at least 24 hours until I can really get a hold of God. And most times nothing happens after that. Listen, when God created Adam and Eve, he envisioned a beautiful bride. Perfect, just like the garden. Hallelujah. But one day he woke up. And he looked for that bride, and he found that bride was a little bit ugly. Sin is as ugly as it gets, folks. So God waited and worked with ugly for 4,000 years, worked with an unfaithful Israel and priesthood, but God knew that even though his bride was not what he envisioned, one day after suffering the cross, he would marry the bride of his dreams. First, it was an ugly bride, but then he got beauty. And if we can put up with a little bit of ugly, we're going to be the beautiful bride someday. Let's look at our last scripture. Revelation 19. Verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, when Jacob finally started out on his journey back to his father's house, he took his two wives and all of his children and all of the speckled and all of the ring-shanked, all of those that nobody else seemed to want, and he started to make his way back to the place where he started years ago. And Rachel took her father's statue, and it was all gold. And her father, Laban, came after them to find the statue. Here's the point. When men were wealthy back then, what they would do is they would take all of their gold and they would form it into an image of themselves. And whoever had the image of the father got the inheritance. It works today. Whoever has the image of the father gets the inheritance. Because God has put everything into us to conform to his image. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I was a little bit ugly. Something beautiful, something good. Amen. That's what God has created in each and every one of us. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Sometimes we don't understand what we're going through, but that's all right. That's also faith. There have been many, many times in my life that I didn't understand why I was going through what I was going through. But I knew the only answer is to stay with my God, because he's going to take me through. Amen. There's some incredible people in this building tonight. Incredible. Because they've gone through tragedies, accusations, sorrow, humiliation, financial problems, and none of it shook them. They didn't marry any one of those problems. They're still looking for something beautiful. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, Jesus understood. The altar's open. Would you come?